Electric Soil Podcast. Imagination is the electric soil of creation.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Today, I have a special guest, Josh Bolton, on the show. He also is the host of The Josh Bolton Show, and he joins me today. Josh, thanks so much for joining me on this this lovely Sunday morning. I don't know how it is in your neck of the woods there, but it's beautiful here up in Edmonton, Canada. How's it going?
It is wonderful over here in California. Us Americans are prepping for Super Bowl, so
yes,
I don't have a team preference. I guess I'm rooting for the Rams because they're local.
There we go. And like the Rams, I don't know too much about football. I'm like the ultimate bandwagon jumper. Like I literally watch the Super Bowl, and that's pretty much it. Super Bowl seemingly always is like a crazy good game. Like it's so much drama, and you know what I mean, the hype and all that.
So much tension. A lot of athletes want to prove themselves. Totally. I was joking with all my coworkers today. And I was saying, you know, I'm really going to watch it for the ads. It sounds so stupid.
Yeah.
But marketing goes all out.
Dude, it's crazy. It's been like that for years, like the better part of two decades. I remember growing up even, like I'm, I think a little bit older than you. I was reading your bio, your child of the 90s. So I'm like 81. So like I grew up in the 90s, but I was already, you know, kind of in that like preteen era. And even back then, like the commercials are, oh, do you see that soup? But the funny thing was, is like in Prince George, where I'm from, you have like the local commercials. So you felt kind of ripped off because you hear on the national stations, you're like, oh, you missed the new whatever ad. And like, damn. But yeah, it's been like that for years. Like the marketing, like you say, is just out of control for the Super Bowl, eh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, what I heard this year, just to get a 30-second slot was $6 million for the Super Bowl. So yeah, marketing better go all out for that.
Dude, that is craziness. And that's so funny. It's like some of these like things that clearly don't, like, you know, Coca-Cola, they're going to pay that much. Like as if Coke needs a 30-second spot on Super Bowl. But
you know what they're already everywhere in the stands.
Right? Yeah, exactly. They have people literally like advertising the entire time. But okay, that's cool. Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday. What else you got going on? Let me, first of all, I'd like to hear a little bit of your origin story. So you're down in California. Are you born and raised? And, you know, what kind of got you leaning into this this whole podcasting game? Like, what was intriguing to you about this?
Awesome. Thank you. Not many actually ask it that way. So for me, like you said, born in the 90s, pre-Google search. So a lot of things that we could just quickly look up that wasn't a thing back then. Politically correct wasn't also, well, it was a thing, but it was more like native to your crazy parents' house. And that was it.
Totally.
But it was one of those, I was a white boy in a predominantly Hispanic school, and it was a more rougher side of the neighborhood. So I'd get literally beaten up every day. And
wow.
At a certain point, being a kinesthetic person, I've like moved my hands around, and I would do like, he sees it, but you guys are not going to see it, where I would flip stuff and then click it. That actually is terrible for the mic, but for the point of it. So they were like, I would go from happy to sad. Well, I'm a young kid. I barely know what my emotions are. And they're like, oh, he went from happy to sad real quick. He's bipolar. You either give him meds or he's out. Well, again, the pre-Google thing, if my parents had the infrastructure now, they'd be like, well, screw you too. We're going somewhere else. But so it was the saga of essentially they didn't know. So they did what the district said, put me in. And essentially how I like to explain it, this doctor's office kind of looked like a hobbit hole somehow. And you open this creepy like circle door and it smelled of leather rub and lost hope.
Oh, wow.
And it's just, yeah, you can't even, there's no smell. It's just, it's like you smell just done. I'm sitting there and I'm screaming like, Mama, I don't want to go.
Yeah.
It's a scary place. The smell's bugging me. So finally we get into the doctors, and again, young kid, curious. I see like a brass minimalist globe, and then it was like the 90s, so that wasn't really a thing. So I'm like, wow, how is there chunks of the ocean missing? Then I turn, same sculptor, is a man skewering a boar, and you see the like metal spraying out his blood. And I went from happy, like, ooh, world, to
Right.
And the literally doctor's like, oh, he's schizophrenic and bipolar. Here's some pills and get out.
Wow. That is crazy story, man. So how old were you at that time? Like when you had this like test or whatever it may have been.
It would have been fourth or fifth grade.
So 9 or 10 kind of thing in that vicinity of age.
Wow. Yeah, pretty much. And then pretty much still at a young age. So I would like my whole thing now is giving context because I was never given context for anything going on. And essentially junior high, I had more like gnarly teeth. It did look like a wild beast. I'm straightening them out, but because I can afford it with a job. But yeah, it was just my parents. We were, like I said, literally the wrong sides of tracks. So we were the lower income. So they couldn't really afford dental work. So most of my life I was teased for my teeth. One thing everyone says, oh, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's like bullshit. I'd rather get hit by a stick or a stone than that.
Yep.
But pretty much, yeah, just was bullied, harassed. And it was one of those, when I graduated high school, I was one of those, I would play Xbox. This is back when toxicity was super loud on Xbox Live. Now it sounds like you can't even like crack a your mama joke without getting Microsoft down your back.
Right.
But pretty much, yeah, it was just one of the guys said, like, dude, you have a nice voice. Like, he's like, I kind of like just hearing you in a group chat. He's like, you should be a podcaster. I'm like, what's that? So that kind of started it. Then I looked into it. Well, that was around 2014 to 2017. So that was that range. I was bouncing the idea around. I'm still in the heavy drugs. So I'm forgetting everything I think of.
Yeah.
And then there's Beelzebub in the corner drilling a succubus and no one sees it, but I'm like, you're that poor thing.
Oh, jeez. Yes.
So, pretty much, yeah, this, I was watching Joe Rogan go through the kind of like what he's going through right now, just unadulterated heat.
Yeah, man.
And I'm like, oh, I don't want to get in trouble. Like, I don't want to lose my job over a podcast. Now, like me looking back off the drugs, I'm like, you idiot, that's free marketing. But yeah, and that was the whole thing. I was scared of Twitter mobs and I just want to do it. Well, the climax, the peak of the story, I got COVID in December 2020. Right in the beginning. So like the third or the fourth, I got it.
Yeah.
And it was either the whatever B or C variant is. It wasn't Delta.
Sure.
It was nasty. It's one of those. It was the kind that was killing people.
Really?
But
yeah.
I'm a tough son of a bitch to kill though. But yeah. So I was. No one told me at work that the whole store pretty much got taken out by COVID. I'm coming in with just sweating bullets. I'm thinking it's just a really nasty flu. I need to work through it. By the end of the shift, I'm on the ground convulsing and shaking. And everyone's yelling at me to get back to work. And then like literally 2 hours later, when I'm home after they all yelled at me like, oh yeah, Josh, you might want to go get tested for COVID.
Man.
Rough. And I was like, I told them because I had a huge argument with the district manager. Absolute dick. Like, yeah, manager's a dick, but this guy is like, if you could put a photo of the essence of a douchebag supervisor, this is the guy.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And he pretty much said, oh, I can replace you. And I'm a night shift janitor at a local grocery store. I'm like, you're going to convince someone to come in for $14 an hour to scrub shit off a toilet when the government's paying him $600 a week.
Yeah. Right.
You think you can just replace me like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, I'm a kind of an idiot for working for you because the government's paying way more.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's so funny. But convince yourself out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like that moment once I like recovered and could actually move, I just pulled the trigger. I'm like, I'm doing it hell or high water.
Cool.
And after about a year now, I've interviewed 600 and plus growing people and I've just learned so much about life. Like the things that were like, everyone's all like, oh, it's normal. Like as you talk to people, certain things is like, yes, it is normal. Someone's like, oh, I didn't realize that was so not normal.
Right. Interesting. So over a year, so you're banging off, like if it's 600 interviews, you're doing like a couple a week at least then, eh? Like, are you?
Oh, 160.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha. Sorry. I misheard.
I was saying 600, like, holy crap.
I know. I was like, holy dude, you must be running the gamut here doing a few a day. Like, That's still good, man. That's so, what are you, your show, let's get into it. I love the origin story. I will go back to it. I have a few questions specifically, but just because we kind of like walked up to your podcast, let's get into it a little bit. So is it, let's talk about the Josh Bolton show, specifically, like I get the impression it's sort of a variety show, like a variety, depending on what the guests want to bring to the table a little bit. But yeah, kind of what does that look like? Is it a weekly format? That kind of thing. We'll start with that.
So I started off strictly as business, and I wanted to, because I realized if I want to go out on my own, I need to talk to business people and figure out how they did it. And then at a certain point, I realized you can only skin the business cat about 30 different directions. Then it's just the same story over and over again. So that's when I kind of, and it was one of my last clients, who is more business like strategy. And he pretty much said, as a business person, he's like, I can tell you are. He's like, business doesn't sell in podcasting. And if it does sell, all the ads are booked up for the next 5 years. So you're not going to get any money.
Wow. Interesting.
So one of those, I sat there and I'm like, that's true. As like, I'm that crazy guy. I'm willing to listen to boring literature, but most normal people don't want that.
Interesting. So yeah. Yeah. So you had to kind of expand or grow out of almost your own personal preference for the fact that, you know, if you want to monetize it, you're going to have to kind of broaden your scope a little bit. Is that sort of
right?
Yeah, I get you.
And then so that's where then I just decided interesting and inspiring stories.
Cool.
I love stories. I love telling stories. So I was like, you know what? I just want to talk to interesting and inspiring people. And honestly, I'm predominantly the business guy, marketing guy. Like you could always know there's going to be some tie-in of that. But like I had a guy in North Carolina. He is super into spiritualism, the deep, like, meta meaning of life, the Hinduism, the six above, worlds above us. And we were just talking about all this stuff, and I was just one of those, because he said, he's like, well, this is not business. I'm like, I don't care. This is cool with me.
Yeah, right?
If they don't like it, they can just click off then.
Sure. Well, that's the thing. And you know what? Yeah, I love that. I love how you broadened it to, because everything can connect in a certain way, right? Like if you're doing better self-work and self-care and internally looking, your business will then do better as well, right? So there is tie-ins if you look for it, in my opinion anyways. So I like what you're doing with that as far as, you know, yeah, just I like the inspiring stories, man. Like stories are the best way to transfer information, right? Like you say, you're reading boring literature. The best way to kind of get some of that content to stick with people is attaching an inspiring story to it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So that's super cool. So with this show, what are some of your, I guess, your highlights? You said you've learned a lot, like, you know, obviously condense it, you know, to the high level stuff as far as what you have personally. And then a second part of the question, what kind of feedback have you been getting, especially since you've, you know, changed formats a little bit as far as like going from business elsewise?
So the reason I mentioned the context earlier at a younger age, I still, for podcasting, I've just come to realize this though about humans. I don't actually get that much feedback. Even if I beg for a rating or a review or a tweet, I don't actually get that much feedback. So what I've been basing it off of, but this is how my mind's very strategic. It likes filling in the puzzle. So when a guest would come on, I'm like, oh, I listened to this show. That's why I was inspired to come on. I'm like, that's where I'll be like, oh, so what about that show specifically? Because personally, that flopped kind of thing.
Okay. I got you. That's smart. That's smart. That's a good way to do it. Excellent.
So that's how I've been doing it. And that's where then a lot of people are like, oh, because of this, the way you asked it. I guess I interviewed a Navy SEAL and he usually has a little set gambit. Well, I was just like a kid. I mean, I'm like, tell me your story as a soldier, what it was truly like in the like the trenches kind of thing.
Yes.
I'm like, what was the scary part? Was it the guns? And he's like, so he told it and he's like this whole epic saga. And he said, actually the part I'm scared about are bombs. And I was like, interesting. So we went into it and that's where another person who knew that guy, I got him to break his gambit, his schmick on coming on.
Yeah.
And, as we said, because you got him to break and he's a hard seal to break, I want to come on your show.
Cool.
And then come to find out that guy was huge. And it's just been one of those domino effects.
Yeah. That's one of the cool things about podcasting. I'm assuming that you're finding that as well. It's like you get momentum, like from exactly what you say, one leads to the next, to the next. It's just starting. A lot of people have a hard time starting, but once you do, before you know it, it's just like, you just kind of follow where it takes you. Which is
absolutely. You just got to be open for the ride too.
That's it. Yeah. That's the key, right? Open for the ride. Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. And we'll go back into, I'd want to get a little more specific. So that's a really good example, like the Navy SEAL. So we'll get a little bit more into that, but let's double back to, you know, you're growing up and, you know, kind of what's formed, you know, the person that you are today. I'm interested specifically in I'm always a sucker for like language, like inner dialogue, even the way that we communicate with each other in our relationships. How has that changed for you over the years? I mean, going from a guy that was, you know, bullied, were you like hard on yourself growing up? Have you grown out of that? Is that something that you're kind of a work in progress? I'm interested, like, what is your inner dialogue like coming out of such a, let's face it, a traumatic, and might be putting words in your mouth, but I think safe to say a traumatic childhood.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I try not to portray it that way anymore, but yeah, my inner dialogue, well, let's give it a good example. One of the high points of this, that low story arc was, I was 13-ish. I was like seventh or eighth grade in American. It might've been more, yeah, seventh-ish, but someone correct me on Twitter, it's Josh Bolton show, but
yeah, right.
Essentially, I was bullied because, again, the teeth, and I was overweight, but I was like that stocky, I didn't look fat kind of thing, but I was fat.
Gotcha.
And it was, so they would make fun of me, old fatty and this and that and crooked teeth, and they'd call me the monster. Well, for a while, I just brushed it off, but then I started realizing, oh, I believe I'm a monster now. And it's one of those, again, I didn't have context, so I'm sitting there shaking like this, like I'm a monster, I'm going to hurt people kind of thing. Yeah. So I said, well, I personally, in a dialogue that was bad, I was like, well, if I'm a monster, I should just kill the monster before it becomes a problem. So I tried to take my life. I mean, it clearly didn't work. I'm still here.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I tried to hang myself a belt. I just passed out. But and that's where 6 months later, the high point of that whole darkness was my martial arts instructor picked me up at the LA Fair. And it pretty much, like, we still talk about it. I had my funnel cake because we have in LA Fair, we have good funnel cake. I don't know about up in Canada, but
not so much. I'm aware of what it is, but yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I had my funnel cake in one hand and my big gulp in the other, and I'm walking, and essentially he comes up and says, hey, like, we just saw, like, here in America, specifically Southern California, there's this thing called Red Dragon Karate.
Mm.
They literally run around in clown suits, pretty much. They have like this one chick was wearing like a hot pink, but then it had a weird like V to her vagina. And it was just one of like, it looked like the Power Rangers tried to become real.
Right.
And it's like, it doesn't look correct. And, and the guy's like, he's wearing a camouflage gi and he's like, I will teach you to kick ass and blah, blah, blah. And we are just literally, I'm like, this guy's just weird. So we move on to the next booth where it's like this Chinese dragons and banners. It looks like the Chinese New Year.
Okay.
Like if you look at photos and like,
I get what you mean.
It looked just like that. And I was like, wow. And I stood and I'm just staring and I'm like, wow, kind of thing. And my instructor just happened to come in after buying funnel cake for him and his other martial arts buddy. This is the context later on. He said, I saw a rage in your eyes. If you didn't know where to put it, you were going to get yourself in a lot of trouble.
Wow.
That's profound. So pretty much he said, I killed him. Kid with rage. He looks at me straight in the eye, puts his stuff down. You want to learn how to break people's arms? And well, and I was like, hell yeah. And I put it down and I ran over.
Wow.
And he gave me a whole lesson. We signed up. I've been with him 15 years. And I told him, like, if you didn't pick me up when you did, I probably would have done really something really stupid.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that trajectory would be. I might have, like, somehow thought Brazil was the next place to go, then somehow go to, like, the Philippines or Thailand.
Right.
But then in all that, somehow get myself in trouble with gangs and die.
Right.
I said, you literally saved me. Yeah. And that's the one thing – it's just, he told me, he's like, yeah, I saw a kid with rage. I didn't know where to put it. Mm. And he's like, that's my specialty. Punch that back.
That's awesome. Oh man. What a story. So you must believe to a degree in like, you know, happenstance or, you know, fate or however you may call it, synchronicity just life absolutely. Events that are meant to happen. Cause that is a profound story. Thanks for sharing the, you know, being so open about the, you know, your attempt on your life and all that. It's pretty,
oh, it's all good.
Crazy business, man. I'm really happy to see that you seem very, you know, and you know what, I've always been envious of, you know, people that have been into martial arts for as long as they have, because they do seem that they have that super I view like confidence as not the bravado side of confidence, but confidence as no matter what happens, I can deal with it kind of confidence. And I get that sort of impression. You have that sort of chill vibe to you that, especially coming out of like all the life events you've already told me. And you're so just kind of like, it seems like you've reconciled with them. And it's just, okay, you know what? That's the past. This is me now. Like talking to you for the last little bit anyways.
So to tie into your question earlier and then your martial arts, that's where recently, as I've been doing the podcasting, I've kind of realized what I thought was a soul me struggling. Because there was one guest, he was a therapist, and it became like a whole hour of just jaw stomping his shit. And that's where he told me, he's like, no, other than the fact that I'm born on the East Coast and I'm Jewish, we had the same story.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that's two minor like details. Like, he's like, yeah, literally same story.
Wow.
He's like, I chose to be a therapist. He's like, because I told him at one point it was martial arts teaching and I did. There was this one kid, my instructor recently told me, we'll call him Jimmy. I don't really remember his name, but Jimmy was an autistic kid. His father was a doctor and mother was whatever. They were making stupid money back then. I got Jimmy for 3 months and he wanted like 3 or 4 1-hour lessons. Pretty much I had him every day. It was one of those. The only day I think I didn't have him was Mondays because it was therapy or whatever. Mm. But it was just one of those. Long story short, essentially 3 months pass. They pack up and they had to go to some other state. The doctor had a better offer. I was like, okay, bummer, but at least I helped him out. And my instructor told me recently, he's like, oh yeah, they called me. They found my number on their old phone and called me up and said, he now, because of those 3 months you gave him at a young age, can talk to people, hold a job, actually talk to girls and not be weird. And he something else. And I was just like, oh no, he has good confidence and self-esteem. Mm. And I said, funny, like I said, back then I literally didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying to be a good friend and I had no direction like that. And he's like, you literally saved a person and made him better. He's like, you got lucky that I could tell you, but yeah, you changed someone's trajectory completely.
Wow. And that's powerful. That's before you even knew that you were, you know, you weren't as aware of the fact that you were doing it, right? It's something also pointed out to you after the fact. You're like, oh yeah, I guess I did kind of do that. Like, but that's right. You know, it's just kind of your manner, right? It's and I think there's a lot to be said. Anybody that's been through, especially like I had bullying as well, but not to the degree that you have by the sounds of it, but it definitely affects the way that you can interact with people. Like towards the end of high school, after I kind of grew out of that stage, I was friends with everybody, like the nerds, the jocks, the musicians, the stoners, just because I, you know, there's good in everybody and you don't want to ever, I knew what it was like to be on the other side of the fence. So I didn't want to be in that stage where I was too cool to be in around certain folks and whatever. And I've always had a soft spot for, you know, people that are trying, but they just, it's not clicking for them. So I think there's a degree of that as well from you, is like you identified something, even not being aware of it, but you were able to identify, okay, this person's having a hard go of it. I've been through this. I can sort of help them guide their, you know, their misplaced, you know, whatever emotions or, you know, they're just a little bit lost. Right. So that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Super cool.
So to tie into your martial arts with all during that whole arc with my martial arts, at a certain point I realized, because of how my instructor trained me, it wasn't like, the old Taekwondo take their cash kind of thing.
Mm.
Oh, after if you pay us 10 grand in 2 years, guaranteed your black belt.
Right.
No, like I've been doing this 15 years. And in the last 13 years, I finally achieved black belt.
Oh, wow.
That's how hardcore he is.
Right. You really have to earn it.
It's a high bar. And sometimes he intentionally keeps raising it. So you never get it.
Yeah. Keeps you hungry. But,
And that's where I told him, I said, at a certain point in like this whole thing, I got a certain confidence, even though I wasn't appreciative of how I physically looked. I knew internally I was a dangerous person and I didn't want to fight. Sometimes my friends would just call me because they're like, we're going to this sketchy town side of LA. Can you come with us? Because we know if shit hits the fan, you'll kick their ass for us.
Nice. Have you been in a spot where you've had to use that? Did you have any kind of, I don't want to say redemption stories necessarily, but like, you know, when you ran into somebody that was a bully back in the day and tries to do it again and you're like, oh yeah, let's see how this works out for you now. Like, was there anything like that? Not to glorify violence, but just kind of for storytelling's sake.
for storytelling.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I've never had the recently.
Okay.
Well, I mean, with the pandemic, it's been really hard to talk to people other than this way.
Sure.
But during junior high, when at my like hardest point, after it's just when I signed up for martial arts. And so and I was blasting through ranks because I'd go to every class every day. Like,
nice, nice.
Like I was a roach pretty much there. But so I blasted up, and by my like seventh or eighth grade graduation year, I'm already an orange or purple belt, which is, it's good, but it's like, you still have a lot to learn.
Right.
So this bully, his name, I'm going to say it out loud. His name was Daniel Saxton.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a lawyer kid, a son of a lawyer.
Yeah.
And hindsight, apparently they specialized in law in America on child battery and assault.
Oh, wow.
Keep that in mind.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I can see.
So he was bullying me and he's attacking me, and he had his two cronies pin me against the wall. So essentially he says, well, you're a martial artist. Get out of this situation. I'm like, well, this is unfair in general. I said, I don't want to hurt you. And so he pushes me. I hit my head on the wall. I turn and hit him with everything I got. All the year of rage of him just bullying me in one punch. I took his eye and like half his face just got bruised.
Whoa. Yeah.
So it was like a year's worth of shit in one shot.
Boom. Yeah.
Back to the lawyer part. So he gets home, complains to his parents. Well, his grandparents first. They're lawyers too. Mm. I noticed a lineage in this later on, but
right.
So the parents, pretty much the father, old school, that he told the story exactly what happened. Obviously trying to make it look like I'm the villain. He said, no, you bullied him for a year and he did nothing. You pushed him against the wall. He defended himself and he had a year's worth of shit behind his punch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he literally had a mistake and said, don't wipe your ass with that because we're grilling it tonight.
That is awesome.
And so he had to like cool off his face.
Yeah.
For 3 days. Perfect ring around his eye. Dude. He would not look at me, this and that. And that's where everyone afterwards told me, they're like, dude, the lawyer thing, they're like, they're lawyers specifically for what you did. Wow. But they said he's at fault. So nice. They're not even gonna try to defend him.
Isn't that the greatest? That's like, oh man, that's such a great story, man. I
right? It
just warms my heart. And it shows that they have some integrity, the lawyer family, that there is some integrity, right? It's like, no, this is a life lesson for you now. We're not gonna, you know, bail you out.
Yeah, we're not gonna make it go away.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. The stake on your eye, maybe that'll make it go away. But
I just like how you said, don't wipe your ass with it.
Yeah, that was a great line. Yeah, what a great line, man. That's a good story. Thanks for sharing that one. That's cool. So what is the ability to go to this martial arts, you know, studio or dojo, I guess, for the for every day? Like, obviously there was a lot of, you know, pent up energy or misplaced energy. So how is that sort of transferred into the rest of your life as far as because it sounds like you're very like you mentioned, strategic. You like context. You like, you know, I guess just strategic with the way you approach life. So what is it about like the structure of doing something and sticking with something and consistent and day in and day out? What is that that's so appealing to you about that? Do you like routines? Do you like the structures? Where does your mindset kind of fall in that general area?
So I do. I actually, it's one of the, he can see it. My room is a bit of a chaotic mess, but I know where everything's supposed to be.
Right.
But I love routine. If I'm off schedule in any way, it really irks me.
Interesting.
And it's even at a young age, but the context, I didn't know what that meant.
Right.
So I thought it was like, oh, I'm getting angry, the monster kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, now I realize I'm like, that's just like the, damn it, I was supposed to get it done by 2:30 and you're all holding me up till 2:45.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. So it's always been important to you from day one is this like, routine structure. That way it kind of helps helps the day flow and then keeps your head from getting into that space where you get a little bit anxious or frustrated.
So, and that's where the martial arts came in. The little caveat I've come to realize as I've been like reflecting on my everything is I love learning. I'm a student. I'm a forever student. And martial arts is one of those, once you hit a certain level, there is something else to learn and you still learn from the previous stuff. So it's the learning that, even my instructor, he's like, oh yeah, I usually interview people after like 8 years, but he's like, you've been here so long, I forgot to say it. Why do you come? And I'm like, learning. There's always something to learn. It doesn't matter how long, how old I am. I'm learning. So That's the main thing for me. And now the tie into podcasting, it is one of those. I thoroughly believe everyone should start a podcast because you get to pick brilliant, awesome people, brains for practically nothing. And it's the value is insane. You get to learn. Like now my show's recently very selfish, but it helps everyone.
Right.
Because I had a real estate guy come on, talk about like how he does it. He makes his money. And he now, after 3 years, makes like 10, 15 million a year. But I mean, it was 3 years beforehand. He was grinding and hustling, 3 years to build it. And now he's enjoying it.
And he's sharing that blueprint with you and with your audience.
Yeah, that's where he's. Yeah. And that's where he's like, here's the blueprint. So you don't have to waste 6 years. You could catch up to me within a year and a half.
That is nuts. That is so cool.
And it was just one of those. I told him, like, I'm just going to be a kid in candy shop. Okay. I know this. Is this correct? And he's like, no. So it got to that point. Like a lot of guests have told me off air when we hit the record off, they're like, that would have been like a $10,000-$20,000 call.
Right.
But for the sake of the show, it's all yours for free.
That is insane, right? Yeah. So right? insane. That's super cool. I got to, oh man, speaking of off air, I might have to ask you about who this gentleman is. I'll listen to the show as well and maybe get him on my guest. Cause yeah, holy crap.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah. Super chill too.
Is that right? Eh? That's rad. That's right. No, that's great. I love how you pivoted back into podcasting. So that's exactly what I was going to use as the segue, the learning, connecting the learning into your podcasting. So learning as one of your values or key principles and how that's loaned itself into your podcasting. So that's cool. Podcast host to podcast host. You took that and ran with it. So it's pretty funny. It's right. Exactly where I was going with it. So yeah, back into your podcast, we've kind of gone through like the Navy SEAL one's a highlight for you. This, realtor, was a big highlight. What are some of the other, ones that really stand out to you? They're like, holy crap, I can't believe I'm getting this information for free that I then get to share with my name as like, you know, the Josh Bolton show. Like what were some of those?
There's a lot. There's a lot of them. I can't like just say, oh, this one show was like the pivoting one. I got steamrolled completely. Have you ever had a guest just completely overwhelm the conversation and never let you talk?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does happen. It does happen for sure.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, this lady, I learned a lot about myself, but she was giving a lot of tips as a woman. Well, she's a Canadian bodybuilder, by the way. And she essentially was just saying like, she steamrolled. So I'm going to keep prefacing that. Essentially, I was like, oh, well, this and that. And she started interviewing me like, well, why are you single? Why are you this? And then by the end of it, her questioning, she's like, well, why aren't you answering the question? I'm like, well, you wouldn't let me say anything.
Interesting. She's like, yeah.
But this is the part where she's like, yeah, if you want a woman to listen to you, you need to slap around and be a little rough with her. And I'm like, oh, no. I can't do that.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, that's not, that's, like, no. Yeah.
That's terrible advice. Yeah.
And this is a bodybuilder telling you this. It's just such a strange message from like, you know what I mean? It's just, just something wrong about it. Oh my God.
But that's where it was just one of those, because I told her, like, she was asking about my like relationship life and all that. And I said, oh, this and this. And she's like, oh. Somehow she correlated is, oh, did you give him good gifts? And I'm like, well, yeah, I did X, Y. Like I gave him this and this. And she's like, oh, no. She's like, pro tip with women. And this applies to all women. I'm like, okay. She's like, if you're ever getting an argument, buy them their favorite candy. If they're not into chocolate, just remember whatever their favorite candy is, soft toy. But if you don't have any of those, just buy them a soft blanket.
Soft blanket. Okay.
Yeah. And I was just literally one of those. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, right.
Interesting. Why that? Well, it's one of those recently, one of my coworkers is having trouble with his ex. The ex now, he didn't fully listen to me then. And I said, hey, you're having an argument. I said, whatever her favorite candy is, what there's Pockies, this and that, hot tamales, I don't care. Buy her one of those. If you can afford it and swing it, get a soft toy, like plushy bear that she can hold. And then a soft blanket that she can wrap her as she holds the thing. So he did the plushie toy in the blanket. You didn't get the candy, but I'm like, you got 2 out of 3. You're good, man.
Yeah.
He's like, why did it suddenly work? I said, I don't know why. I just literally, this crazy bodybuilder lady. I was saying, if a woman doesn't listen to you, just grab him by the coochie and tell him what to do. Pretty much said that with her like finishing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. That is hilarious. So then it's funny that that one, she started questioning you. Like, it almost like you're on her podcast for a bit, it sounds like. You're like,
I've had a few of those.
Yeah, right? Well, yeah. How about the counselor guy or the, it sounded like it, like you said, it kind of turned into role reversal. He starts, you're on the couch all of a sudden. You're doing like the, you know, see a shrink for an hour, but you didn't have to pay $200, right? So
seriously. And that's, as you said, you're like, a call like that would have been $200. I'm like, well, thank you for doing it for free.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone who listens to it is immediately going to call you because like, this guy's legit.
Right? Yeah, that's so funny, man. You know what? What a better way to kind of like, you know, promote your business as a like a counselor or you know a psychologist is come on and just like do a case study with the host of a podcast, right? Just see it in real time. It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
that's awesome, man. Yeah, and then so that's, yeah, you got some interesting guests here. You got the female bodybuilder. Yeah, what other, some of the other ones? And you could say, I mean, obviously, like you kind of mentioned, it's like it's really hard to narrow out the most like you know, best information kind of thing. But yeah, some of those other funny ones that you, if nothing else, it is the entertainment value where like, you know, you got the female bodybuilder somewhere in that vein, if it's a little bit easier to speak to those.
So as I look through my gambit of people who've come on my show, I realize like I've hit like the full circus almost. I think I interviewed someone from a circus. So it's literally one of those, literally. but this one guy, his name's Alan Lee. He's running for president. Well,
oh, interesting.
But yeah, it's this year he's running for president. He's starting to prima. But either way, it was one of those, as we're talking, very very left-leaning. We'll put in that polite context. He still lives on government subsidies. Government's paying for his house and food and this and that. And I was like, oh, okay, at least he was smart enough to buy his own like website for like, like if you're going to be a president, you need to have like a really sharp website to send everyone to, right?
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
It was a Google Sheets.
Oh, tremendous. Wow.
Right. And I was just like, sat there and I'm like, it's okay.
Like, yeah. Like what world does he live in? There's got to be some of these people that are doing that kind of stuff that you got to think somewhere inside them. They know, or you, I don't know. Like,
he thoroughly believed he was correct.
Oh, no, that can't be. Oh, my gosh. That's
so... He thoroughly believed he was correct.
Wow.
So then at a certain point, I was just like talking to him because he was saying, oh, if I was president, I just told him like hypothetical is not literally going to happen. But let's say I wave my magic wand and you're somehow president for a day and Congress for some reason will listen to anything you say. What would you do? And he immediately said, declare martial law. And I'm like,
oh, wow. What?
And then what? Yeah. Like, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's like, yeah, exactly. That's one part of the plan. But then what happens after that?
Well, then that's where then I'm like, explain this. Like, he's like, well, his whole thing, his cop out was, well, I would need to consult the experts.
Oh, wow.
And I said, okay, well, like finances, what would you do? He's like, well, I would need to consult the experts. I'm like, but ultimately it's your decision though. They're giving you advice. They're not telling you what to do. You ultimately have to make a decision.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
And he's like, well, I will have to consult the experts. And I was like, okay, let's then. Let's just say this worked out. And I said, how would you control it? He's like, well, again, I would have to consult the experts. But if I could do what I wanted, everyone would get free money, but only for food. If you spend it on anything else, you will go to jail. What? I sat there and I'm like, I said, well, okay, but like a guy like me, I'm working through the pandemic. I have extra cash. You gave me the extra. He said, well, then you wouldn't use it for food. And I'm like, what would I use it for? I want to buy a Big Mac kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
What if I want to use government cheddar to go buy me a chemical burger?
Oh, my God.
And then that's where he's like, no, not you. This and that. And I was like, okay, you really need to clarify this. And I'm like, well, how are you going to? Because he said, oh, true democracy. We will have true democracy. By the way, he's doing this like Trump and he hates Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, okay, what would you do for true democracy? He's like, well, I have a plan. I'm like, okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
What's his plan? He's like, I will use Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and whatever else, and Amazon while I'm at it to do my bidding. If they do what I want, I will help them. If they trust me, I will smite them where they stand as a president.
What?
And I'm like, I said, that's kind of dictatorship now.
Yeah, yeah. That's getting into a whole different thing altogether here. Wow.
And that's where he's like, I will use Twitter polls. I'm like, well, that's unfair. What if you have one of five votes for the day, and I'm going to Thailand to help a friend build their business, and so I just pull up my phone. He's like, everyone outside of the United States cannot vote. I'm like, but I'm a U.S. citizen. How? Yeah. That's unfair. Like I said, I'm just going for a week to help my friend build a business.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't vote. I'm like, well, I can promise you right now, I could pay a guy in like Vietnam or Korea, rename your country, $100, and I could get 100,000 votes in my favor in unique U.S. citizen accounts.
Yeah.
How are you going to combat that?
Right.
Well, I would need to consult the experts. I'm like,
oh, man. Yeah. Interesting. Well, it's funny.
That was the whole show.
It looks like you you had a good back and forth with him. You had enough like sense about you to kind of poke him a little bit. Kind of go, okay, you know.
And he didn't even notice it. That was the funny part.
That's the best part. That's awesome. Yeah, you do it in such a calm manner. You just kind of slide it in there, right? So, oh, too funny. Where are you finding you're getting most of your guests? Like we kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, as far as, you know, one guest can kind of lead to the next guest. That does happen. The odd, like you kind of networking in a word of mouth kind of fashion. Is there anything else that you use as far as like outsourcing guests, or do you have like an add up, or how does that work for you?
It's the same place we met on matchbaker.fm. Is where I get my, it's predominantly where I get my guests. Recently, this awesome company in the Philippines, I'm going to probably butcher their name, Podcast Visero, I believe it is.
Oh, okay.
So how they contact me, pro tip for you.
Yes.
You might want to take this down. You want to go to the site podchaser.com.
Podchaser.com. Okay. I'll check it out.
Because you set it up, confirm it. They have you put like whatever text in one of your old episodes.
Yeah.
Confirm that it's you. And then you can delete it afterwards.
Oh, okay.
And then this company has sent me so many celebrities, because you pay them like $6,000 for the year. I think comes out to like $500 and something a month.
Okay.
And they guarantee you 4 bookings a month.
Oh, nice.
So I've gotten these celebrities.
Wow.
That they're literally like, Josh, we need to book someone. We know you're easygoing. Can you just take them?
Wow.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, totally. So
that's my like inside pro tip. Go to podchaser.com, confirm your account.
Yeah, yeah.
Put your email that you want them to email you. Because I had it on my personal, and suddenly I'm getting all these emails. I'm like, where did you get my email?
Yeah.
I don't want you to hit me on this one.
Totally. And then, okay, that's really cool. And then how's it been like, so for example, and this might be boring to anybody that's like not into podcasting, but anybody that, I mean, obviously you're listening to podcast hosts, so we're going to bring this up. And to Josh's point earlier, I mean, what a great way to get out there and network. So if you are thinking of podcasting, you know, this will be the kind of the last few questions. If you're not, by all means, you know, put the wraps on the episode. By the way, I will have all the Josh's information in the show notes as well. But yeah, just a couple of quick questions. We got the Podchaser. Josh, I was going to ask you too, like, how is it down your way there as far as like, you know, getting ad placement and such? Because it's a little bit trickier up here in Canada to get some like ad reads and ad placement and all that. How has it been for you as far as like actually the monetizing and making like sort of the business side of your podcast? Or is that still sort of its infancy at this point?
Right. So us being younger podcasters, we don't have a consistent like 10K download. So a lot of ad agencies won't look at us. But there's a lot of good American sites, which I actually don't really care what country you're in. Podcorn.com.
Okay.
Very good site.
Is that right?
Okay. Podcorn.com. And I think they only take 10% for just like facilitating fees.
Okay.
But honestly, like it's pennies.
Yeah, right. Right.
I've actually reached out to like Bragg's Apple Cider Vinegar. That's a big thing out here. I don't know if it's you guys.
It is. Yeah. It's big up here too. Yeah.
So I reached out to them. Literally, you can send a voice message because they know us podcasters, we like talking more than typing.
Totally.
But then I also typed. I'm like, I just said, hey, this is what I do. I know I'm small, but I'm trying to be healthy, and your apple cider has been helping me. And literally the rep said, we love you. Your message, your drive, it aligns with our company. You don't have enough downloads though.
Ah, man. Yeah.
I was like, shoot.
Yeah. Hey, but that's cool. Like, it's cool they responded and kind of gave you like a little bit of something to work towards too, right? So,
right, yeah, and that's where they gave me the general guidelines. They're like, if you want lowball, about 5,000 an episode, 10,000 will bigger companies like us will look at you. If you're averaging more than 15 to 20K a episode, they're like, name your price at that point.
Wow. Okay, that's good to know. Like, yeah, you always kind of wonder what the threshold is. I find for me, like if you find somebody on Fiverr or, you know, some of these other like people that'll kind of help get the word out in your podcast. You can ramp it up fairly well, like get some promotion kind of going on. But then obviously, like anything else, any other promo, as soon as the promo's done, it kind of, so you have these ups, downs, all arounds, right? So
yeah.
Have you had any success with that as far as like advertising your show, or do you kind of, are you just sort of letting it organically grow, or what's your sort of strategy with that side of things?
So actually I have a strategy that I picked from a lady on my show, Hannah Acosta. Okay. Online marketing. I would say a lot of, if you're looking for online marketing, that was a good one.
Oh,
but
nice.
Essentially, I just put, so what host do you use?
So I use Anchor.
Okay.
Anchor.fm.
Just a FYI on that one.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Anchor, but anything you upload, it's not yours anymore.
Oh, I did not know that.
That's how they make their money.
What? Oh, man. I guess I should be better at like reading the fine print and all that, eh?
Yeah. So again, it's nothing like a lot of people use it because they it's more of a side thing, like marketing gimmick to help out. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking to make it a real deal, as long as you have, let's put it this way. If you have copies on your computer and you didn't delete them.
Yes.
Then you can just like upload it to Buzzsprout or Podbeam.
Okay. Yeah.
But anything you gave them,
yeah,
they're not going to give back to you.
Really?
So if you delete it, you're screwed.
Wow. Dude. That's great information. I did not realize. Which one do you use then as far as like platform?
I use Buzzsprout.
Oh, I've heard of this one. Okay. What is and how are you, how is your like, I guess, relationship with them and, you know,
as far as fantastic.
Yeah. Are you finding fantastic. There's lots of growth with your podcast? Like do they help get the word out, or is it kind of you having to get out there and
I would say they'll facilitate it, and I pay for their lowest tier, the 3 hours a month. And I pay an extra like $3 for it. They do magic mastering leveling.
Cool.
Like leveling in audio.
Yeah.
So like for Zoom, it tried to filter out fans, and then when I edit, I try to filter out a little more. Well, that magic mastering cuts anything left over.
Oh wow.
Kind of thing.
Cool.
It's just literally worth the extra $3 or $4 if you can swing it.
Sure.
But yeah, like there was one time they got slammed. Like the CEO personally replied to me saying, "We are slammed. I see it. I'm sending it to the right team, this and that, but we can't handle your question as of right now." And I literally replied, I'm like, "Dude, I don't even know anything about podcasting, but the fact that the CEO's in the trenches helping, I want to work for you."
Completely, man. That's super cool. Instead of getting some like bot, you know, response, like Autobot response. Yeah, the CEO.
No, it was actually, legit
that's,
him.
That's cool, man.
He's like, "We are slammed to the wall."
Yeah.
We'll get back to you in a minute.
Wow, that's super cool.
But honestly, it's the greatest purchase for those who want to get their reach, because I'm on everything. Spotify, Apple, Pandora, which honestly, Pandora is the hardest one because you need to get 1,000 downloads and you need to keep that for 3 months. That is the only like picky one they have.
Okay.
Yeah. But honestly, when you think Pandora, you don't think podcast.
No. Kind of, I always think, for me, like, I don't know if you're an Apple guy. For me, it's all about Apple Podcasts. That's how I listen to all mine. And of course, Spotify to a lesser degree, but I know a ton of people have Spotify, so I'm like kind of open to that side of it. How is it for you as far as like what you're...
Oh, yeah. Easy.
Those, right?
I got an Apple. They have a whole intuitive, like, you could be 80 years old or a 4-year-old making your own podcast.
Yeah.
And they explain everything perfectly. And I got into Apple, this and that, Spotify. I have on iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
I actually just helped a guest. I was on their show and I said, "Oh, well, do you have a VPN?" Because she's like, "Well, I can't post on iHeartRadio from the UK." I said, "Well," they said, "you have to upload it from America, right?" And she's like, "Yeah. Why don't you just VPN to like Texas for just, and then upload it for 20 minutes and then
smart
out."
That's so cool. Yeah.
And she updated me like, "It worked. I'm on iHeartRadio."
Yes.
Like, I was literally sitting in my head going, "I literally just made that shit up right there."
Yeah. That's so awesome. You're like, "Yeah, it worked. Nice."
Sweet.
Yeah. Awesome, dude. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man. It's been a pleasure meeting you. And like, thanks for letting me kind of collaborate with you as far as just some ideas. Get nerd out a little bit on the podcast hosting side of things. So hopefully that wasn't too... whatever over somebody's head, but we did do the disclaimer before we went into this last 5-minute segment here. But thanks so much, Josh. I'm literally looking forward to role reversal. We're gonna come on your show here in the next couple weeks.
To that.
So yeah, and thanks, dude. Thanks for sharing, being so honest about your story. and bringing up some, you know, traumatic events and being just transparent about it. Always appreciate that. And just gives gives context, one of your principles. We gave some context and background on who you are as a person and why you're doing the why. And that's what's most interesting to people. And that's where people really relate to you and all that too. So super cool, man. And yeah, you're just a solid guy. Really happy to meet you. And I'm sure we're going to be keeping in touch because we're, podcast brothers. So
yep.
Awesome, dude. So yeah, where can we find you online? And aside from that, thanks again.
JoshPolandShow.com. It is a podcast site and you can literally scroll through and listen to stuff. I usually add a few tabs here and there. I'm working on building a podcasting coaching thing.
Cool.
As we speak. So if you're really interested in, like, you weren't a podcaster, but you want me to help you streamline it, hit me up there.